Hit it, Phil.
Can it be the breeze that fills the trees with rare and magic perfume? Oh, no! It isn't the breeze, it's Jackson time.
Well, hello again. It's 2016. We're continuing with our fundraiser. Just come to buckabenny.com. And on the right-hand side, there's all different ways to donate to the podcast. We're still trying to get to the level where we pay for the entire podcast and then can stop running this fundraiser. But you guys are doing a great job. I'm getting more and more people that are donating funds to the podcast, and that's fantastic. Tonight's episode is one of those that I was talking about the other night where I check, and if I have an episode that's in better shape, I replace it and upgrade the episode. Last time I played this episode, there was a lot of little crackles and pops and things throughout. This one is whistle clean. It's very nice, and so those aren't there anymore. So a nice big upgrade this time for tonight's episode, so I hope you're going to enjoy it. Also, I mentioned on Sunday that I've upgraded my whole Jack Benny collection to include just a ton of great shows. I was looking at the interview section alone. There are 5 different interview folders, each one containing about 30 interviews or so. And I was clicking on one, and I was just looking at the Phil Harris interviews, and there were like 5 or 6 Phil Harris interviews, and at least 2 or 3 of them that I've never heard before. George Balzer, one of the writers, there must be 7, 10 interviews with George Balzer. So it's just great to have all of these wonderful interviews of all the different cast members. Dennis Day, there's like 4 or 5 interviews with Dennis Day. Don has a lot of interviews. Jack, of course, has a huge section of interviews, some that I hadn't heard before either. So we'll be bringing you some of those, but I don't think I can bring you all of them. So if you want to experience getting all of these wonderful new shows I've added to the collection, then at the $50 level, it allows you to get my entire audio collection of all my shows, including the huge Jack Benny collection. That's also the $4 level if you pledge $4 a month. So anyway, come out to the site, take a look, see what you'd like to donate. If you want to just do check or money order, you can email me at buckbennyotr@gmail.com, and I will send you back an email with my address and so forth. So thanks again for all of you who've donated and all the wonderful things you've said about loving the podcast. That's fantastic. I love to bring it to you. Love to have Rob here helping me out, and Stacy's going to be back on board here in a few weeks, so that'll be fun. Anyway, without further ado, here's my old intro to the podcast, and then a nice upgraded episode of the Jack Benny Show from November 3rd, 1946. Jack tries to break his contract with the Sportsman. He's continuing to have problems with the Sportsman. I just love this whole Sportsman storyline. It's been so fantastic. Anyway, I hope you guys love it as well. And here's Jack and the Sportsman. Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of the Jack Benny Show from 65 years ago, the 1946-47 season. And if you haven't noticed lately, we've been having some Halloween episodes of the various old-time radio shows. This is, of course, the reason I love to do the shows in the actual sequence throughout the year that they were originally released in, so that we can go through the same time of year as the folks on our shows. Jack's shows this week will still be talking about Halloween. It'll be one of those where it's after Halloween, but they're remembering back to what they did on Halloween and what costumes they wore and so forth. So we'll get to spend some more Halloween time with Jack and a lot of the other shows as well. I hope you've been enjoying all of our Halloween-ish episodes. They don't go as, there are certainly not as many Halloween episodes as there are Christmas episodes of shows, and probably Christmas is the biggest holiday for old-time radio shows, that they seem to, almost all of them celebrate it. even it's interesting, even the ones that are written by Jewish folks and have Jewish actors in them, Jack Benny's show for one, still celebrate Christmas. I think that it was just the thing to do at the time. I think they definitely did even more than modern shows celebrate Christmas and so forth. Then probably Easter is probably the next biggest holiday, or maybe Thanksgiving for old-time radio shows. And then Halloween behind that. Some of you noticed we had at least one Columbus Day show, which is kind of different, fun. Anyway, so I hope you enjoy tonight's episode of the Jack Benny Show. Get into a little bit of the Halloween spirit. I hope you had a good Halloween. And certainly last night, some of the Bing Crosby shows we played two of them, both had a little bit of Halloween discussion in them. So, anyway, we will see you next time.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike. Quality of product is essential to continuing success.
At 57, American.
For your own real deep-down smoking enjoyment, remember, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
LSMFT. LSMFT. LSMFT.
Right you are.
Yes, sir.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, first, last, and always, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts. And year after year, at auction after auction, the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Fine, light, naturally mild tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And fine tobacco means real, deep-down smoking enjoyment for you. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
The Lucky Strike Program, starring Jack Benny, with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, last Friday, Jack Benny asked the members of his cast to come to his house at 2 p.m. So let's go back to Friday and find out why Jack called the meeting.
Is everybody here, Rochester?
Oh, but Dennis Day phoned and said he'd be a little late.
That's funny. Dennis is always on time. I wonder what delayed him.
He said that last night was Halloween and some kids took the wheels off his bicycle.
Well, why didn't he take the Sunset Buzz?
They took the wheels off of that, too.
Well, that's what Dennis gets for living in that kind of a neighborhood. I'm glad the kids around here aren't that rowdy.
Me too, boss.
By the way, Rochester, go out and take the bathtub off the front porch and put it back in the house again. Well, what are you waiting for? Take the bathtub off the front porch.
Okay, but there ain't much gas in the car.
Gas in the car? What's that got to do with it?
The front porch is in Pasadena.
What?
And Pasadena's in Pomona.
You mean the kids?
No, the wind.
Oh, stop being silly and do what I tell you.
Yes.
I'm going to the library and talk to my gang. Shine on, harvest moon up in the sky. I ain't... Uh-oh. I better hide these bicycle wheels. Dennis is liable to get sore. I'll put them in the closet. I ain't had no lovin' since January, February, June, or July. La, la. The other months weren't so good either. Oh, well. Hi, kids.
Hello, Jack.
Hiya, Jackson.
Say, I'm glad you're here early. I've got great news for you. You too, Polly. Now, kids. Kids, I want to read you a telegram I received this morning. Dear Mr. Benny, I heard your program last Sunday, and of all the stinking... Whoops, wrong telegram. See, where's that other one?
Don't take a chance. Maybe you just read the good one.
No. Here it is. Dear Mr. Benny, since everyone is talking about your programs this season, we are sending our photographer to take pictures of your group. If convenient, please have them all at your home Friday, November the 1st at 3 p.m. Signed, the Associated Press.
The Associated Press? Gee, our pictures will appear all over the country.
Pictures? Gee, I wish you'd have told me I'd have had my sweatshirt pressed.
Bill, just be happy the pictures aren't in color so your red eyes won't show.
Say, if the photographer's going to be here soon, I better make my face up. Oh, Don, hand me my purse, will you, please? It's on the chair next to you.
Here you are, Mary.
Thanks.
Ah. Gee, that smells wonderful, Mary. What is it?
Money.
I mean, besides that.
Oh, it's some new perfume I'm wearing. It's called Get Away From Me, Boys. I'm Going Steady. Now, let me see. My lipstick. Lipstick.
Why don't you turn your purse upside down and empty it, Mary?
Okay.
Mary, empty the rest of it in the hall. This room's filled already. What a lot of junk. And look, three chitsui sandwiches. There's your lipstick, Mary.
Thanks.
There's the phone. I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny. This is Dennis.
Oh, hello, Dennis. We're waiting for you. What's taking you so long?
I couldn't get a taxi.
Oh.
So my mother's driving me over in her steamroller.
But, Dennis, I thought it was your Uncle Harry that drove the steamroller.
Not anymore.
Why? What happened?
Well, yesterday, something was wrong with the front roller, so he got out to look at it, and some kids played the meanest Halloween trick.
Dennis, that's terrible. Where's your uncle now?
Well, you know that white line that runs down the middle of Wilshire Boulevard?
Uh-huh.
The dark part of it is Uncle Harry.
Dennis, stop making things up like that. Your uncle passed here this morning.
Didn't he look thin?
Oh, hang up and get over here.
Yes, sir.
What a kid. Dennis will be here in a few minutes. Mary, what are you doing with the parrot?
Oh, just playing with her. She's cute.
Yeah, she's smart, too. Last night I taught her name, Polly Benny. Go ahead, Mary. Ask her what her name is.
Okay. Come on, Polly. What's your name?
I am the fiddler.
Oh, fine. She got that listening to the radio.
Polly want a cracker? Polly want a cracker?
Polly want a chisswee sandwich.
See, I told you.
Say, Jack, how long do parrots live?
Oh, a long time, Mary. Some of them live very long.
How old is this one, Jackson?
63. And she's still got all her feathers.
That's more than you can say, Bub.
Bill, don't be funny. You always have to be a wise guy. Like at Mary's Halloween party last night.
What's the matter? What did I do wrong?
Trying to make jokes about everything. And that costume you wore. Imagine covering yourself with cobwebs and coming as a wine cellar. What an outfit.
Well, at least I spent dough for my costume. Sure. That's more than you did.
What do you mean?
You didn't spend a dime. You put on a pair of shorts, stood out in the cold, and came as Little Boy Blue.
No, you're just mad because Mary gave me the first prize.
Well, you deserved it, Jack.
Thanks, Mary. They were swell, but they don't quite fit my car.
What was the prize, Mary?
Four wheels off the Sunset Bus.
Yeah.
But I thought Don Wilson's costume was the best of all. I should have given him the prize.
Well, Don, I'll admit it was original. Well,
thanks, Jack.
Who else but you would have ever thought of putting on an old straw hat and standing out on the lawn holding up a big tobacco leaf? Come to think of it, Don, why'd you stay out there so long?
Well, Jack, I just hated to come in. It was so wonderful watching the moonbeams filtering through that beautiful golden brown tobacco.
Must have been a lovely sight.
And there in the stillness of the night, I could hear a lonely cricket calling to his mate. L-S-M-F-T. L-S-M-F-T.
A cricket said that?
They make that noise by rubbing two lucky strikes together.
Gee, I'm 37 and I never knew that.
And then the little boy cricket kissed the little girl cricket.
Gee.
And the little girl cricket must have liked it because she said,
quality of product is essential to continuing success.
Now, if anyone besides you told me that, I'd never believe it.
Well, you can believe this, Jack. Luckies are so round, so firm, so fully packed.
So free and easy on the cricket.
Hey, that's clever. Don, teach Polly the rest of the commercial.
You do, and we'll have a new announcer.
Say, maybe the Polly could. Nah, what would happen to all our fat jokes? Don't worry about it, Don. You can always... Oh, the phone. Rochester, will you answer it, please?
Yes, sir. Jack Benny's residence, star of stage, screen, and radio, and will sell two bicycle wheels at ridiculously low prices.
Hello, Rochester. This is Dennis. Please tell Mr. Hey, what did you say about two bicycle wheels?
Uh-oh, me very sorry. You have a long number. Maybe you have better luck next time. So long, Clyde. Hey, Fu Young.
Rochester. I try talking to Rochester. Only time I talk to Chinese boy.
So sorry. No, Rochester. No bloody here except us chop sewers. Chop, chop. Goodbye, please.
Rochester, stop playing games and give me that telephone. Hello, who is this?
Hello, Mr. Benny. This is Dennis, and Rochester said you had a pair of bicycle wheels that
I... Oh, Charlie, long number. Goodbye.
Mr. Benny.
Look, Dennis, why aren't you here?
Well, I'm in a music store. I dropped in to buy a copy of a song I'm going to do on Sunday. It's called Rumors Are Flying.
Oh, yes, I heard that song. Does it have a good arrangement?
Oh, it's swell. But what about the bicycle wheels?
Dennis, the song, how does it go?
Do you want me to sing it for you?
Yes, yes.
But what about the bicycle wheels?
Just sing the song, will you, please?
Okay.
What about the bicycle wheels?
Operator, you keep out of it. Go ahead, Dennis. Let's hear the song.
Rumors are flying that you've got me sighing, that I'm in a crazy kind of a day, a lazy sort of a haze. When I go walking, I hear people talking. They say our affair is not just a passing phase, and they whisper about the flowers I keep sending you by the dozen, and they wonder about the hours that I spend with you. It keeps them buzzing. Rumors are flying, and I'm not denying that people are sure I'm falling in love with you. All for a change, darling, all the rumors are true. And they whisper about the flowers I keep sending you by the dozen, and they wonder about the hours that I spend with you. It keeps them buzzing. Rumors are flying, and I'm not denying that people are sure I'm falling in love.
Dennis, that was swell. Now, hurry over. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Now, kids, the photographer will be here any minute. So when he takes the pictures, I'll sit in that big armchair and you all gather around behind me. Phil, you'll be kneeling at my right.
Uh-huh.
Now, Don, you'll be at my left, down on one knee.
Okay.
And Mary...
I'll put the crown on your head.
No, this will be informal. Now, now let's try it. Phil, you kneel on my right.
Okay.
Don, you're here on my left.
All right.
Now, Mary.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Now, cut that out! I'm just trying to get an idea. Well, that's probably the photographer. Come in.
Well, here I am.
Dennis, how in the world did you get here so fast?
Mother's steamroller has an overdrive.
Look, Dennis, stop with that steamroller nonsense and shut the door.
Just a second, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, Mother.
I thought he was making the whole thing up. Now, Dennis, the reason we're all here... Dennis, the reason we're all here is we're going to take publicity pictures.
Gee, I thought today was payday.
Why, what made you think that?
Everybody's kneeling.
That's for the picture. Now, come here, Dennis. You stand alongside... Hey, that must be him. Come in. Yes?
Mr. Benny, my name's Johnson. I'm a photographer from the Associated Press.
Good, good. We've been expecting you. You're right on time.
I know, and I have other calls to make, so let's get on with the pictures.
Okay. Now, kids, everybody gather around. Phil, put down that glass. You're not posing for the man of distinction. Now, come on, everybody.
Just a second. There's something wrong.
Wrong?
Yes, there are five of you. I always thought that in a quartet there were only four.
Quartet? What? What are you driving at, Mr. Johnson?
The Associated Press sent me over to take pictures of your new quartet. Where are they?
Well, that does it. Come on, Mr. Johnson. Take your camera and get out of here. Out, out, out. That's the last straw. I'm going to see my lawyer and get rid of that quartet if it's the last thing I do. Mary, you want to go with me?
Well, Jack, I've got some shopping to do. I'll meet you at his office.
All right, I'll see you there. Rochester, get the car out. We're going downtown. Rochester, my lawyer's office is at Broadway at 9.
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy, why didn't I think of this before? My lawyer will take care of that quartet for me. Gosh, I feel better already. Margie, I'm always thinking of you, Gertrude. I'll tell them. Gee, I'm fickle. Oh, say, Rochester, slow down. There's a fellow sitting on the curb. His clothes are all ragged. And look at his shoes. He's probably been walking for weeks. Let's give him a lift. Say, buddy, would you like a ride?
No, thanks. I'm waiting for a Nash.
Keep going. Funny, I thought he was looking for a... Watch it, Rochester. The light's changing.
Yes, sir.
Shine on, harvest moon up in the sky.
Say, Martha, isn't that Jack Benny?
Where, Emily?
Sitting in that car.
Well, I do declare it is him. Oh, Emily, isn't he handsome?
And so dignified, too. Just look at those big blue eyes.
I think he's adorable.
Oh, Martha, at your age.
Well, I just can't help it. Just looking at him gives me renewed strength. Oh, look, my cane. It isn't even touching the ground.
Oh, Martha.
Oh, Martha, oh, Martha. Loosen up, Emily. Stop being so loyal to Tom Brennerman.
Well, I guess you're right. Jack Benny is kind of cute. Yes. Yes, he certainly is cute.
Don't go yet, Rochester. I want to hear this.
He's so clever, too. I love him on the radio.
So do I.
And Emily.
What?
Did you see him in the horn blows at midnight?
Let's go, Rochester. Come on, let's go. There were two nice old ladies, and I want to remember them that way. Keep driving, Rochester.
See, Mary, you got here before I did.
Yeah, and I thought I was going to be late. Is this your lawyer's office?
Yeah, H.M. Fisher, attorney at law. Let's go in. Hmm, there's a new girl at the reception desk. Pardon me, miss. I'd like to see Mr. Fisher.
Do you have an apartment?
Well, I... What?
Do you have an apartment?
Yes. Yes, I have an appointment.
What?
I said, I have an appointment.
What?
An appointment.
Oh, go right in.
Thank you. Come on, Mary.
And now, look, Mr. Smith, I'm a busy man. I can't stay on this phone all day. I told you I won't settle this case for less than $2 million. I'm sorry, Mr. Smith. That's up to you, Mr. Smith. Goodbye.
Hello, Mr. Fisher.
Now, how do you do, Mr. Smith?
No, Benny. Benny, Jack Benny.
Oh, yes, please forgive me. It's just that I've been so busy lately and have so many things on my mind.
I understand, Mr. Fisher. I'd like you to meet Miss Livingston.
How do you do, Miss Livingston?
How do you do?
Haven't we met before?
I don't think so.
That's funny. Your name is so familiar. It keeps running through my mind. Smith.
No. Her name is Livingston.
Oh, yes. How stupid of me. Your name is Smith.
No, look, Smith was on the telephone.
What happened to Benny?
I'm Benny, Jack Benny.
Oh, yes. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, Mr. Fisher, what I came to see you about is...
Pardon me. Yes? Oh, well, send them right in. This won't take long. It seems to be very urgent, a domestic case. Come in.
Mr. Fisher, I'll
do the talking and you keep your big mouth shut.
My big mouth? Your lips could be stretched over a piano stool.
Now, we can settle this without harsh words.
That's okay with me. I want to divorce this jerk.
Very well, but you'll need grounds.
If I had that, I'd bury him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, please, let's not resort to that. What are your names again?
Mr. and Mrs. Krause.
Very well, I'll file the application. Goodbye. And now, getting back to you, what did you come to see me about?
Well, as I started to say...
Oh, yes, I remember. You two want a divorce.
No, look, that's Krause.
Oh, of course. I had you confused with Mr. and Mrs. Livingston, who just left.
I'm Miss Livingston.
Oh, yes, then you're Mr. Krause.
No, look, I'm Smith. I mean Benny.
Oh, yes, Benny Livingston.
Yes.
And now, what's on your mind?
Well, I've got a quartet on my radio program, and I want to break their contract. Here it is.
Looks like an ironclad agreement, but I've got a very clever idea.
You can break the contract?
Not only that, but with my idea, I can make them refund all your money.
All my money? How? Tell me.
Jack, he can't talk. Let go of his collar.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All I have to do is... excuse me. Yes? What? Good. Send them right in. It's that couple who were in here just a minute ago for a divorce. Mr. and Mrs. Fisher.
Your name is Fisher.
I mean Mr. and Mrs. Livingston.
Their name is Krause.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Miss Smith.
Jack. Isn't this the lawyer who pleaded a case and got the jury so confused they sent the judge up for 20 years?
Oh. So you read about it, huh?
Read about it? I thought I made up a joke. You mean it's true?
Yes.
Hey, come in.
Come, dollface, carry me over the threshold.
No, lover, you carry me. You're stronger.
Okay, upsy-daisy.
Oof, not so high. I'll get a nosebleed.
Come, I'm a busy man. Are you sure your minds are made up?
Yes, me and Stardust don't want the divorce.
Fine, I won't file the application, and good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Now, where were we, Mr. Livingston?
Benny's the name, Jack Benny. Look, this is Miss Livingston. Mr. and Mrs. Krause just left. You're Fisher, and Smith was on the phone. Now, tell me, Mr. Fisher, you said you knew how to break the contract with my quartet. Now,
Now, how are you going to do it?
Now, let's see. Since you're suing them for $2 million...
I'm not suing them for $2 million.
Oh, yes, that was Kraus.
That was Smith on the phone.
Well, what are you doing here?
I don't remember. All I know is I had an appointment. I mean an appointment.
Oh, yes, yes. You came in here about a quartet. I remember now. You came in with this girl here, Miss...
Eagle Bottom.
Now, please, Mr. Fisher, about my quartet. You got to break that contract. Here it is on your desk.
Oh, that one. Well, I'm sorry, but that contract is unbreakable. You haven't got a chance. So I advise you as your lawyer...
Now what?
Come in.
I'm going to divorce you if it's the last thing I do, you spongehead.
That's gratitude for you. After we left here, I carried you all the way down the hall so you wouldn't tire your big flat feet.
Well, you didn't have to drop me down that laundry chute.
Laundry chute?
I hit bottom like a sack of wet wash.
With your shape, how else could you hit?
Look, Mr. Fisher.
I've got the applications right here.
Good, we'll see you in court. Goodbye.
Gee, that's a shame. Gee, and they're such a nice couple. They've got their own shows, too.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about them. This has been going on for 20 years. They'll get back together. But I am worried about the children.
Children?
Yes, that's the tragedy of divorce. Who's going to take care of the little ones?
And I think I have troubles. Mr. Fisher, I'm glad I dropped into your office today. I got a big home, a butler, a swimming pool. And I'm going to do something that'll make me happy, too. I'm going to have their children come home and live with me until their parents make up their minds.
Mr. Kraus, that's the noblest thing you've ever done.
Kraus?
Yes, it's a wonderful thing. And from now on, the children are your responsibility.
Good, good.
And the children are here, right here in the next office.
Well, gee, may I see the little rascals now?
You certainly may. Go right in.
Thank you. You? You're the children? Oh, for goodness sake.
Jack, don't stand there. Let's run.
I can't leave now. I'm their mother. Oh, quiet.
Oh, it's only that you're growing old.
I'm not growing old. Come on, Mary. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, America's veterans need homes. Millions have been hit by the critical shortage, but our veterans are, by all odds, the worst sufferers. They feel the shortage more acutely because they interrupted their lives to go into the armed services. So it is only fair that the veterans' families should get first chance at all vacancies. They'll be grateful for your cooperation. Thank you.
Jack will be back in just a minute, but first, here is my good friend, Mr. F.E. Boone.
At 57, American.
Year in, year out, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts.
Mr. James Alfred Walker of Durham, North Carolina, has been an independent tobacco buyer for 27 years, and he really knows tobacco. Here's what he said.
Season after season, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy good, ripe tobacco. That smooth, fragrant, fine tobacco that makes a real fine smoke. So it's only common sense for me to pick Lucky's for my own cigarette. Smoked them for 17 years.
Quote, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy good, ripe tobacco. Unquote. Yes, season after season, independent tobacco experts like Mr. Walker can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. Fine, light, naturally mild tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
L-S-M-F-T. L-S-M-F-T. L-S-M-F-T.
It takes fine tobacco to make a fine cigarette. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
The famous tobacco auctioneers are on tonight's program. Mr. F.E. Boone of Lexington, Kentucky.
At 59, out of 59, American.
And Mr. L.A. Speed Riggs of Goldsboro, North Carolina. Basil Rysdale speaking for the cigarette. That means fine tobacco. Lucky Strike.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be with you again next Sunday at the same time when for our feature attraction we will present our version of Mark Hellinger's great Universal International picture, The Killers. That's the third one we've killed and we're just auditioning. Good night, folks. Don't forget to vote Tuesday.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
A special rebroadcast for you servicemen and women of the United Nations of the College of Musical Knowledge. In the absence of the old Professor Kay Kaiser, your quizmaster will be Phil Harris, assisted musically by Kay Kaiser's band, Sully Mason, and, as a special added attraction, the four harmonized voices of the King Sisters.
You fellas, how are you, you pretty things? Yes, sir, man, and we're going to tear the roof right off of this joint tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are at Miramar, California, holding class with Uncle Sam's Devil Dogs, the ground crewmen and flyers at the MCAD, the Marine Corps Air Depot. MCAD, that means Marine Corps All Dusty. You know, this Marine Air Depot is just like a regular depot. You arrive, you depart, you spend most of your time waiting, and you have bags under your eyes. You know something? The Marines love it here at the depot. They've got dots in the script, so I can wait for that. But they do. This depot is a sort of a whistle stop. The Marines whistle and the girls say, stop. You know that Bing Crosby's interested in a racetrack around here.
That's right. I understand that Bing has a new horse, Bill.
Oh, hello, Bill Foreman. Yes, he has, Bill. It's a shy little filly. He named it in honor of the girl Marines because it has so much reserve.
Say, Bill, how did you get to this field? Did you come on one of those comfortable buses?
You mean those cattle wagons?
Cattle wagons?
Well, all I know, I tried to get on it and somebody yelled, move over.
Bill, are you sure it's that rugged about the transportation?
Listen, Bill, I heard one leatherneck in this area who was put through the infiltration course. At the last ditch, bruised and beaten, he tried to have the sergeant a dime. The sergeant said, what's this? My fare, said the Marine. What time does this bus get to San Diego?
Oh, that's enough about traveling. Let's start unraveling for that $115 in war bond prizes.
All right, Dean, we'll start the scramble, but first we got to dance, so let's ramble.
Yeah.
Sometimes at night it could happen to you. Don't count stars or you might stumble. Someone drops a sigh and down you tumble. Keep an eye on spring. Run when church bells ring. It could happen to you.
Round hurdle, and the men want to jump it.
Well, toot that ever loving trumpet.
This capable snooze events. First news item.
We'll get to it.
Pacific Square, San Diego.
Pacific Square? What's Pacific Square?
A boot camp for wolves.
Wait. Oh, yes, the camp for the wolves. I remember. You know, I played there once, Ish, and boy, did I murder them. The girls had a big sign painted that said, "Come to Pacific Square and thrill with Phil."
Yeah, and the fellas had a sign that said, "Come to La Jolla and can with Jan."
Yeah, you know that Jan dame, she ain't bad. You know, there's a signboard right across from my house with Jan's picture. And every time I pass by it, I bow low.
Every time I pass it, I straighten up and fly right.
Look, Ish, speaking of San Diego, did you have any trouble getting a room there last night?
Did I? I went to 15 hotels, and all with the same name. The Nova Kansas Hotels.
Yeah, them Nova Kansas hotels are crowded. You know, I tried at least 20 and not a room in any of them.
You said it. There's got to be an empty room in one of them.
Wait a minute, gentlemen. There's no such hotel as the Nova Kansas in San Diego.
Oh, no?
Oh, yeah?
Well, they got signs right out in front in big letters, Nova Kansas.
That doesn't say Nova Kansas. It says no vacancies.
Oh! Look, get into your first round question.
And here, Phil, is your first devil hound.
And he is Private First Class Bill Bond from Oakland, California. Well, Bill, we got a beautiful crowd here tonight. The fellas and girls are really lovely, and I know that you and I are going to have a lot of fun. Now, look, Sergeant Irving Allen, somewhere in India, sends us this letter written by a Marine away on foreign service. "Dear Mo," he wrote, "I'm out here at the end of nowhere in a jungle, and I'm never going to say again that..." "I'm never going to say again that what?"
"No more."
He's
no
got
more.
It. "That it ain't what?"
"It's going to rain no more, no
That's
more."
"That's right, because it rains there plenty. Yesterday, I asked, where is the..." When it rains, I'll give you a little
hint.
That's right, the umbrella man. You hit it right on the head. Now look, And a top officer answered. He said, "Listen, bud, you're in the Marines. Just keep your eyes open, your finger on the trigger, and..." Hold it. Just keep your eyes open, your finger on the trigger, and let a what be your umbrella?
Scott?
No. Oh, I can't go any further than that. No, let a what be your umbrella? What do you do when you're happy? Students! Let a smile be your umbrella. I'm sorry, Bill, but you got off to a good start anyway. Let's give him a nice hand. Corporal Mary Jo Powell from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Now, this is my kind of work, fellas, right here. Mary Jo, let me tell you this, that we want you to know that you girls are really doing a beautiful job backing up our fighting Marines. Is that right, fellas, huh? We want you to know we're very proud of you, Corporal Mary Jo. Now, look, it's plenty dusty down here at Miramar, so if you're willing, we're going to try and dust you off. Now, Alice Densky of Plymouth, Michigan, asked what kind of dust did the 49ers come to California for? Will you put it right in there?
Gold dust.
Put it up here closer, honey.
Gold dust.
Gold dust. That's absolutely right. Now, what kind of dust do lovers croon about in this song? Listen. Gee, I want them to hear Kay's quartet. Those are all fellas out of Kay's band. Now, listen, don't they sound good? That's enough, fellas. Give them a nice hand. They're beautiful, I think. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They did a good job. That's right. You're right, Mary Jo. That is stardust. Now, what kind of dust is to be found on a barroom floor? Right in there. Just put it right in there.
Sawdust.
What do you say?
Sawdust.
That's right. Now, let me ask you something else. What's the most dangerous kind of dust?
Dost thou take this woman?
To be thou lawful wedded wife. Let's give her a nice hand. Thank you, Mary Jo. Thank you. Staff Sergeant Joe Valero from Brooklyn, New York. Glad to see you, Joe, from Brooklyn. Glad to see you. Look, Marine pilots, Joe, are always buzzing the field, which means flying as close to it as possible. So in this question from Seaman Walter Bullock in Uncle Sam's Navy, we want to ask you what's buzzing cussing. So in the following, tell us what things are buzzing. Now, here is the first one. What's buzzing? Lyman Gandy, that's the piano player. We've got to let him go a little. That's enough, Lyman. He's got it. What is it?
The B.
The B. That's absolutely right. Now, look. What favorite mystery program buzzes? It comes on the air like this. Listen. That's enough. I believe he's got it, fellas. What is it?
The Green Hornet.
The Green Hornet. That's absolutely right.
Give a nice hand, huh?
Yes, sir. Our first winner, Phil. And he is with a perfect score, or she is with a perfect score all the way, Mary Jo Powell, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Corporal Powell.
Here's the first of our second rounders. First second rounder, Phil.
First second rounder, and he is Private First Class Leon Prensky. Is that right, Prensky?
Yes.
From Dallas, Texas. Yes. Different. You're from Big D, huh, Prensky?
Said it.
Well, let me ask you something. Where do you dance for you in Dallas?
At the Adolphus or the Balinese Room down in Galveston.
You do, huh? Well, then you're right down my alley. Now, we're going to get together. Look, Leon, Marine Private Irene Muzzy of Camp Elliott tells us this one of a Marine flyer going out to his plane. who was overheard saying...
Josephine, come with me.
Just a minute, he's got it. What'd he say?
Josephine, come with me.
In my flying machine, that's right. The CEO got worried. Gee whiz, he thought, do you think that guy took a girl up in his ship? So the CEO quickly got a two-way radio and made contact with the plane. He heard a feminine voice. Who's up there with you, he yelled. Why, sir, the pilot replied, there's no one up here. But the breeze and I. Oh, yeah, yelled the CO. What's the voice I hear? Sorry, sir, said the pilot. I forgot to tell you.
I married an angel.
Oh, no, it eats fast on the draw. I married an angel. I got to stand it to you. Give a nice hand, huh? Yes, sir. Thank you, ladies. Here comes private first class Johnny Davis from Oneida, Tennessee. Is that right? Private first class Johnny Davis, and she's a lovely girl, and she's pretty, too. Oneida. Well, I have to tell the folks because that's a boy's name, Johnny, but it's a cute girl's name. Now, look, Johnny, Robert Daynard of Cleveland, Ohio, sends us a letter from her boyfriend, and concealed in this devil dog's letter are the names of many other kinds of dogs. Now, as we read it, pick out four kinds of dogs. Now, listen closely. Dear Dale, when I hear from you, I practically walk on air, Dale. And it'll be a great day in this camp when I get a boxer cookies from you. By golly, any chef could set her down and get a few pointers from you. Well, must close now as it's time for chow. We'll finish this and whip it into the post office. Poodles of love, Shepherd. Now, look, Johnny, put them right in there so they can all hear you. Tennessee, will
Collie.
You? Collie, that's
and
right.
Setter.
And Setter.
Shepherd.
Shepherd.
And Poodle.
And Poodle. Well, give Johnny a nice hand.
Johnny!
Now comes Private First Class Herb McKinney from Brookfield, Missouri. Let's get him on. Listen, Herb, it goes without saying that everybody loves those lovely King sisters. So Sergeant Wilbur Hoover, somewhere in Uncle Sam's engineering corps, wants us to talk about some of their most famous recordings. Now, we decided to let the King sisters hum these famous arrangements of theirs and to see if you can tell us the titles of some of their biggest record hits. All right, girls, let's have the first one.
Do-da, 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 do-da.
Hold it, I think he's got it. What is it?
Idaho.
Idaho, that's right. Let's have the second one, girl. I can't hold him any longer, girls. What is it, Herb?
I'll get by.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. I wish we could hear the rest of it. One more, huh, Kings?
Sing all of that.
Hold it, he's got it. What is it?
Jersey Bounce.
Jersey Bounce. Let's give her a nice hand.
Second winner, Bill.
Second winner, and he is with a perfect score all the way. Private First Class Herb McKinney from Brookfield, Missouri. Stand up, Herb. Thank you, Herb. That's swell stuff. Yes, sir, Devil Dog. That's just like rolling off a log. While I sing, that's what I like about sound. Won't you come with me to Alabama? Let's go see my dear old mammy. She's frying eggs and brawling hammy. That's what I like about the South. There you can make no mistake, where those nerves are never shaky. Ought to taste that layer cakey. That's what I like about the South. She's got baked ribs and candied yams, those sugar cured Virginia hams, basement full of those berry jams, and that's what I like about the South. Hot cornbread and black eyed peas, you can go with it as you please, cause it's never out of season. That's what I like about the South. Don't take one, have two. They're dark brown and chocolate too. Suits me, they must suit you, cause that's what I like about the South. Well, it's the way
way down where the cane grows tall, down where they say you all walk on in with that southern drawl, because that's what I like about the South. Down where they have those pretty queens keep a dreaming, those dreamy dreams for let's sip that absinthe in New Orleans. That's what I like about the South. Old Bob with all the news, got a box, back coat, and the butt shoes, but he's all caught up with his union dues, and that's what I like about the South. Here come old Roy down the street, who can't you hear those scuffling feet? He would rather sleep than he'd end, and that's what I like about the South. Every time I pass your door, you act like you don't want me no more. Why don't you shake that head and sigh? I'll go walking right on by. Gone on and on and on. Honey, when you tell me that you love me, then how come you close your eyes? Did I tell you about the place called Do I Diddy? It ain't no town and it ain't no city. It's just awful small, but awful pretty will do. But I did. I didn't come here to criticize. I'm not here to sympathize. But don't tell me those no good lies, because lying gal, I do despise. You love me like I love you, send me 50. PDQ, rose red, and violet's a pink. I'm gonna get old 50, I don't care. Got backbones and butter beans, ham hocks and turnip greens, you and me in New Orleans, and that's what I like about the South.
And I'll shoot him the questions as Kaiser would do. Now, here's the first finalist, and she is Corporal Mary Jo Powell from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Let's get her off to a good start. Mary Jo,
Mary Jo, I want you to get right up here so you can put it right in here, because this is the one that collects the cabbage. Now, pay particular attention. Most people apply paint in the spring, but we are going to be different tonight. Yes, the final round here in the old college will deal with paint and painters. Private A.C. Abad of Marfa, Texas, wants you to name this song. Hold it, fella. She's got it. What is it?
Painting the clouds with sunshine.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Now, let's classify a few kinds of paint. Well, I'll take my arm down. I just put a... Gee whiz, you get me nervous. I only had my arm up there. I wasn't bothering you, was I, Mary Jo? Now, look, let's classify a few kinds of paint. When actors make up for the stage or screen, what kind of paint do they put on? You get plenty of grease if you win this one, boy.
Grease paint.
Oh, all right, all right, all right, all right, Mary Jo. That's right. Now, what's the correct name for the various paints that women plaster on?
Camouflage.
Yeah, let's give Mary Jo an answer. Private First Class Herb McKinney is also in the finals. Let's give him a hand from Brooklyn, Missouri. From Brookville, Missouri. Now look, Shirley Grosbrier of Milwaukee wants you to name three of our four musicians in the following list of painters. Now those are musicians in the following list of painters: Paderewski, Dali, Mozart, Raphael, Bruno Walter, Rubinstein, Rembrandt, Donald Duck, and Gainsborough. Now name four of those that are musicians.
Rubinstein?
Yes, right, that's right.
I can't remember all of them you said.
Well, I'll give them to you again. Paderewski, Dali, Mozart, Raphael, Rubinstein, Rembrandt, Donald Duck. Just name the musicians.
Mozart.
Mozart, that's two. You got two.
You talking about the second word you said?
I said Dali, D-A-L-I, Dali. The first one is Paderewski.
That's three.
That's three. Then I also named Bruno Walter. Would that be four?
I'd say.
Let's make it four. All right, that's four. Now, look, what paint company's slogan is Covers the Earth? Is it Dutch Boy, Duco, DuPont, Sherwin-Williams, Fuller, Old Colony, New Enamel, or Lady Esther? Is it DuPont, Dutch Boy, Sherwin-Williams?
Dutch Boy.
Sherwin-Williams. He chased it. He said Sherwin-Williams, didn't he? I give an ice hand. Oh. Well, the bell didn't ring, did it? Now, look, here's Corporal Mary Jo Powell again. Look, this is your last question, Mary Jo. We find that some of the most common paint colors are also the last names of famous orchestra leaders, movie stars, writers, and so forth. So I'm going to name a few familiar colors, and I want you, Patrick McGlove of West New York, New Jersey, would like you to name three personalities with corresponding last names. In other words, three colors, three names. Black. What is Black? Is he a musician? Can you name Black that's a musician? Students. Frank Black. I'm sorry, honey. Now, here's another one. Green. No coaching from the audience. She said Johnny Green. All right, Blue. Who's Blue?
Ben Blue.
Ben Blue, I'll take Ben Blue. All right, Brown. Now, lest we forget now, let's keep our minds on our business.
You want a singer?
I want a band leader, anything. Just right quick.
Jimmy Brown?
Jimmy Brown, what does he do?
Sings with Sammy
Kay. I'll take that. Give her a nice big hand. Here's your last question, Herb McKinney from Missouri. Look, name this song for Marine Private J.E. Smith of Camp Pendleton, California.
Cigarette?
No.
Get along, little doggy.
No. That's close. You're getting close. You're getting hot now. Hurry up and beat that bell. Last roundup. I'm sorry, Herb. Now, look, wait a minute. Now, in the lyrics to that song, to what does the word paint refer? What do they mean by paint in that song? I'm going to straddle old paint
Horse.
That's right. They're referring to a horse. Now, complete the following well-known expressions. I'm going to paint the town what?
Red.
That's right. She turned what with envy?
White.
No, she turned what with envy?
Red.
She turned what with envy? Students.
Green.
turned green with envy. Now, between the devil and the deep what sea?
Blue?
That's right. He turned what as a ghost?
White.
That's the white one. That's right. Boy, was my face what?
Red.
Yes. Let's give him a nice big...
Champ, Phil.
And she is Corporal Mary Jo Powell from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Yes, sir. You were lovely, Mary Jo, and it's a joy to present you with this $50 bond. And to number two, here's a bond for you at $25. The four remaining aren't complaining because they each get $10 in stamps.
Forces Radio Service.
Hello again. Welcome to the Jack Benny Show. This is Buck Benny, of course, speaking, and this is Jack's show from 75 years ago this week. It is a real different show we're presenting tonight. So enjoy what you can of it. The beginning is sort of, well, missing, and the end is sort of, well, that's missing too. We bring you the middle of the Jack Benny Show. I have no idea how this exists or why, and it's fairly clear. It's like I don't know what happened to the end and the beginning. You would think, I mean, it just sort of stops. It sounds like it should be there, but it doesn't exist in anybody's collection I can find, so this is what you get. And, of course, it's the middle 10 minutes, and you get a complete a Kenny Baker song and a complete performance by the band. So that takes up a chunk of it. So you have very little, like, going on that you can sink your teeth into at all as far as dialogue and things. The person who comes through, sort of, the only bit that sort of works is... Ben Blue is back on, who, of course, was a comedian I talked about a couple weeks ago. What was it, last week? Anyway, Ben Blue's back, does a little riff on the character that he'd created on the other Benny show. And so we get a chance to hear that, and then the show just sort of ends after that. So, you know, worth a listen to for sure, but don't get your hopes up for this being anything monumental, and hopefully if you've got some Benny background, you can kind of fill in some of the blanks. I wish we had the script. It would be fun to do, to redo the beginning and redo the end of this episode, but I don't have the script for it, so anyway, enjoy, and we'll tune in tomorrow for a complete episode of Jack Benny. Anyway, enjoy yourselves. Have a great weekend. I hope you had a great Halloween week and everything. Still eating candy, I bet. I'm still eating mine. Anyway, take care.
Now, wait a minute. Does it go like this?
With beauty so near, words fail me, I fear. And this is one time I could talk in rhyme. An artist in love would need, it is true, heaven above, if he
glances.
skies would turn to gray if your two eyes should turn away.
Kenny Baker granting a request from Mary's mother. Say, Kenny, I told Phil what I thought about his work in the minstrel show last Sunday, and that goes for you, too. Your blackface dialect was really great.
Thanks, Jack.
I didn't like it.
Why, Philbert. And now, folks, as we announced last Sunday, tonight, we are going to offer our version of that current 20th Century Fox picture, Girls' Dormitory. I will play the part of the hair director of the school, which was enacted by Herbert Marshall. Simone Simone's role will be played by Mary Mary. Pronounced Mary Mary. And Don Wilson will play the part of the dormitory. Now, as you folks all know, Girls' Dormitory is a story about a school for girls only. But inasmuch as we are a little short of actresses on this program, the girls will have to be played by the male members of our cast. Is that okay with you fellas? I mean, will you play the parts of girls?
Sure.
I will, too, but I feel silly.
Yeah. Now, I think we need two or three more people. Say, Phil, would any of your boys in the orchestra be willing to help out?
Why, certainly, Jack. You can have my arranger. You remember Ben Blue.
Oh, yes. You introduced me to him a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Say, Ben.
Oh, Mr. Blue, would you like to help us out in our little play this evening?
Well, it's a little bit out of my line, Mr. Benny, but if everybody else is willing,
I guess I can do it, too.
Now, you know, this is a schoolroom scene. You've been to school, haven't you?
Yes, but I never liked school very much, so I quit when I was about 35.
Maybe he doesn't have to change characters. I don't know. But you'll like it in this school. Of course, you'll have to be a girl, but you don't have to change your voice, you know.
Well, I don't mind as long as I don't have to change my girl.
Fine. Now, let's see. who else do we need here? Come in. Hello.
Hello. Am I talking to Jig Banny?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Here's my card. Take a look and don't bend it.
Your card. Let's see. Pat C. Flick. What's the C for?
Salesman.
I see. And the last name is Flick.
Yes, sir.
Pronounced Goldberg, Goldberg.
Exactly. Now, Mr. Benny, I understand you're putting on tonight a show entitled Girls' Dormitory.
Yes, sir, but what's that got to do with you?
I sell doormats.
Now, look here, Mr. Flake, I don't need any doormats. What I need are actors. Can you act?
Can I act, he's asking. I've been a Hector since Hector was a pup.
Well, look, I'll give you $5 if you go into our show. What do you say?
Make it $7.50.
No, $5.
$7.50, take it or leave it. And don't leave it.
Now, listen, I'll give you $5, and that's final. Do you want it or not?
Well, give me time to think it over. I'll take it.
Now, remember, this is girls' dormitory, so I'll call you Patricia.
Call her. I'll be glad to meet her.
Well, I guess we're all set then, fellas, and we'll go into our sketch immediately after the next number. Play, Phil.
$5. What a chislet.